through the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're going to be talking about getting out and vote. Why are we talking about that? Well, simply because we're at the last few days of early voting. It wraps up this weekend. And we're going to encourage you, if you don't early vote, you definitely need to get out and cast your ballots with us to update us on everything that's going on. The Rutherford County Election Administrator, Alan Farley. Hey, Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today.
Always glad to be here.
I guess one of the things that has become sort of a tradition is Alan's official forecast of the voter turnout. And I'll have to say, you're right on it, usually.
I'm better than the meteorologist at picking snow around here, that's for sure.
Well, what does this one look like?
Well, I tell you, Bart, it's a state and federal primary. August is always a little different because people are trying to get their last-minute vacations in. They're focused on getting, the start of school. I think PCA started yesterday. And then the county school system and the city school system starts here within the next, few days. So the tension takes away, I think, a lot of times from the election. Are people concentrating on that? So it's been kind of disappointing. I mean, right now we're at 4% total turnout.
Is that what it is? 4%?
4%. Now we're trending. This week is actually improving. We actually voted over 1,000 people yesterday. That's the first time we broke 1,000. Normally, in November, we'll be voting, a couple thousand a day. But I think we've got the Murfreesboro City election that's drawing some interest. We've got two competitive state house races that are drawing some attention. So I think these last few days will really pick up.
There are a lot of people who are new to the area, obviously. I mean, we were the fastest growing areas in Tennessee, and one of the fastest, I think number 10 maybe in the whole United States. So there are a lot of new people here in the area, and they don't realize that there's some pretty special, neat things about our election here in Rutherford County. And one of those is you can vote anytime at any place.
That is correct, Bart. And of course, one thing talking about new people coming here, and that's a double-edged sword because a lot of times I don't think people are really invested, and so they don't really keep up with local elections. So hopefully that this will be a trend that actually improves. But one thing about Rutherford County is in 2018, we were the first county in the state to actually go to convenience vote centers, which actually allows people to vote at any location. Now, you can only vote once, but you have 30 different locations to choose from. So just like early voting, you can go and vote at any of our 9 locations over that 15-day period. So this kind of brings that same approach to Election Day. Because the disappointing thing was is that back when we had precinct voting, you were assigned a specific location. So if you lived in Murfreesboro and you worked in Nashville, sometimes it was hard to actually get back in time because you're fighting that traffic to get to Nashville, then you're fighting the traffic to come back. So now those individuals can actually stop in Smyrna, Laverne on the way back and not be in a mad rush to get back to beat that clock for the polls close on Election Day.
Or if you lived in, say, Las Casas, and you work in Eagleville.
Correct.
Pretty
correct.
Far apart. You can do whichever is convenient. Either vote in Las Casas or Eagleville or somewhere in between.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always people that have complaints. But I will always, when I would say complaints, they always have concerns. But the convenient vote center has really been something that has been the most positive. Early voting was transformational back in 94 when we went to have the early voting period. But this here really is has the most positive impact that I have ever dealt with the time I've been here in the Election Commission.
Now, are we doing the same voting machines that we've had over the years, or have we seemed to change those periodically?
Yes, we're still using the same format. The only thing is, back after the 2020 election, Tennessee passed a law that required that all machines have a verified paper audit trail. And so our old machines did not have that. So when you actually push the buttons on the machine, then it will ask you to verify your ballot. And then there's a paper screen that scrolls up, and it lists everybody the name under the office that you chose. So that confirms that the names that you selected, and so that also too locks that in. Then you can go ahead and vote your ballot. Now, if you went to vote for Bart Walker, but you voted, it shows up Alan Farley, then you go ahead and you change your vote, and then it will show that again. So, but that also allows that if there's some type of issue with the machine, you can go back and count by hand the paper votes. And so that gives you that verified paper audit trail, and also an audit, you know, to be able to go back and audit after the election.
Now, how do you determine when it's time to change to a different machine?
I mean, a lot of it is, of course, technology that changes. The warranty on the machines of the equipment actually expires, and then you're looking, you know, when you start having some difficulties with, you know, just the aging of equipment. Microvote is American owned, and that's all they do. I mean, they just do voting machines. Like some of these machine vendors that are in the country, they do a lot of different things, and they just have a division that does voting machines. But this is all that they do. And I mean, I can pick up the phone and I can call the CEO of Microvote, and have done it, and get them on the phone if there's a need. So that's one thing. In customer service, is their big, their marquee.
Can they usually fix it over the line? Connected to them.
Well, our machines are not connected to the internet.
Okay.
No, sir. I mean, so they are standalone. They never get anywhere near a network or internet. So it's strictly that machine. And of course, the tally tapes are printed election night after the. You know, the polls close, and then they post those tallies there at the polling location. So then the tally cards there are read. So you've got a paper trail, which is the new format. Then you also have the printing of those totals. Then you also have the digital card that's actually where they read each individual machine. But even the machines are not even what we call daisy chain. They are not even connected to each other.
So they're totally separate.
Totally separate.
Here's a listener question. This person says, explain to us, how do these machines work? Your election for early voting continues through Saturday. Then you wait a few days, and August 1st is the election day. Are the same machines used? Do you clear them at the end of the early voting, or does it just sort of sit there and wait for the election day votes?
That's a great question. Each voting machine, we have early voting machines, and those are only used for early voting. So at the time Saturday after early voting closes, those machines will be locked down. They will be sealed. There's protective counters. There are seal numbers on the cases. So all that is verified. And then those, they're quarantined. So they are actually put and locked in a secured location. And then our election day machines, they go through the same process. So when those are opened up by the machine operators at our polling locations on election day, then when they're closed, after the polls close that night, all of the information is then tallied. So, you know, people, you know, one year I got a funny phone call. Somebody won't know who was ahead. And I said, excuse me? And they said, well, who's ahead? And like we had a scoreboard, you know,
right,
we just kind of
right.
keep a running total, you know, every time. And I said, well, we don't know who's ahead. We won't know any tally or any numbers until after the polls close. And so at that point in time when it's all tallied. So even though there's a five-day grace period between the end of early voting and Election Day, we don't know what those machines, what their tallies are, because they're not even tabulated until after the polls close on Election Day.
Now, do some states have that tally going on?
That I don't know. I can only speak to Tennessee. So, because we have 50 different ways. Paul Simon had a song back in the 70s, 50
ways to leave lover.
We have 50 different ways of running elections, and because elections are a state matter, state issue. They're run by the states, but so each state is different. So I'm not for sure about that part.
Okay, now on the early voting, you mentioned you quarantine all of those machines after the early voting is finished. How many early voting locations are there?
We have 9 locations. We have, of course, our office, which is downtown on the square next to Big Big Cleaners. And then we have Sportscom, which is on the north side of town. They're off of DeJoinet Lane and Memorial Boulevard. And then we have Vine Street, which is our election annex or warehouse, that 426 East Vine. And then we have the Lane Agri Park, which early voting is the livestock pavilion.
Have to watch where you walk.
It's the middle building. Yeah, they do a good job of keeping that cleaned up for us. And and then we also have MTAR, Middle Tennessee Association of Realtors, have been a great partner to offer their facility. And they have a brand new facility, which is just fantastic. They're to kind of cover that south part of town. Lane covers the west part of town. And then World Outreach. There has been so much growth out off this New Salem Highway, Rockville, Casey Lane area. So World Outreach Church there, the Leadership Park, which is the corner part there of their property, is the location. Then we also have Smyrna Town Hall, and then Grace Church, which is there off of just right down from Smyrna Middle School there on Hazelwood. And then Laverne Multipurpose Building, which is right behind the City Hall and Police Department.
So you have 9 locations for early voting. Now, at those 9 locations, I'm sure they don't all have the same number of computers, the voting machines. How many total, I guess is the best way to say, how many total voting machines do you use at early voting?
Well, I think for this election, I think we have put out, I think it's 79 or 80 pieces of equipment, voting machines.
For early voting?
For early voting, yes.
Wow. Because I'm putting some things together here, so why I'm asking these may seem like strange questions. How many locations do we have for Election Day?
We have 30 locations on Election Day.
Okay. And at those 30 locations, how many total voting machines are there?
They range from, we'll have 3 machines, say, in Eagleville, Milton area because of the volumes not there, to as many as 15 that we'll have at Lane Agri Park and Sportscom. So, this election, I think we're right at about 200 machines for Election Day.
Okay, so you put those together, you have 280 approximately voting machines. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. We purchased through a state grant, through federal dollars and state grant, because of the law that was passed requiring a verified paper audit trail on our equipment. It was ended up being right at $1.7 million that was actually spent. It was the county purchased it, then it was grant reimbursement from the state through state and federal dollars that paid for that. So that total bill was right at $1.7 million.
Now, when all is said and done, these may last you a year, 2 years, 5 years, who knows? I mean, I guess it depends on somebody else coming out with a better machine.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, and then one of the reasons why the commission decided to stay with this machine that we had, one was the customer service aspect from the vendor, but also, too, the consistency in the familiarity with our voters. People, we have used this machine for a long time, this vendor, this type machine for a long time, over what about 20 years. And so, you know, the warranty, when they do an update, to their machine, to the machines, to the equipment, they extend their warranty. So, you know, there's always software upgrades, you know, through time. So really the machines that we just had, that we stopped using, were still very good, you know, quality machines, because they have been maintained. I mean, because really the case was the only thing that was old. Everything else was up to date. So, you know, so you can get a good lifespan out of those machines.
Now, when you finish using them, do you sell them to a smaller state or something?
No, what we did was, the interesting thing was, you know, we took a drill and we drilled holes into the brain of that machine. We were able to recycle a lot of parts, but really, I don't know I'm not a computer expert, but whatever the brain of that equipment was, we actually drilled holes through that so that way they could never be used again, than they were disposed of.
Okay, so there's not any future life once we finish using them, get rid of them.
Yeah, they're done.
But you mentioned that sometimes new software can be added and these machines can be given a new life.
Well, just like you always have a software upgrade, like Microsoft has their upgrades. You know, so you know, and now all of this has to be certified by the EAC, which is the Election Assistance Commission, which is a federal. There is a long process to go through that certification process, and then also too, there's a state certification. Those upgrades have to go through that. So it's not just like, hey, we're going to upgrade. And, you know, we'll just, you know, send that over to you and just stick it into, you know, there's a long process that goes into, to that.
So the machines that we just took out of service, we had used, but we've used this same company for many years, 20 or so, you said.
Yes.
You don't use the machines 20 years.
Well,
Them?
You can't, the actual metal casings you would. But you always upgrading the technology. You may have 2.1, 2.2, so that actually you'll do revisions or upgrades to the inner workings of that.
Our phone number, by the way, 615-893-1450. We're taking text questions, so if you have a question this morning that you would like to ask about the election that's going on right now. Early voting is going on right now. In fact, early voting is already open, I guess, at all locations. It started at 7 o'clock downtown and 8 o'clock at the other locations.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Okay.
10 o'clock location.
So if you want to vote right now, you got to go downtown.
Yes, sir.
All righty. And they will treat you beautifully.
Absolutely.
We were up there and voted. I've gotten in the habit of voting downtown. They just make you feel welcome.
We'll treat you so many ways you'll like one of them.
It is really neat. We'll be right back. Alan Farley is our guest. He is the Rutherford County Election Administrator.
We're News Radio WGNS 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Habitat for Humanity trains people to be successful at home ownership.
So they're very, very prepared for home ownership, and they are buying their home.
You heard correctly. The Habitat homeowner buys their home. It's not given to them.
It just does so much for the community.
Contact Habitat for Humanity and discover how you can help others with home ownership.
It's just a great impact on the family.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms at times this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high into the upper 80s. Tonight, slight chance for showers and storms, a low near 70. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 73.
Hi, this is Ryan with Tire World Laverne, here to serve all your automotive needs in Rutherford County. We welcome all your fleet and commercial accounts, along with all your regular routine maintenance. Tire World, a hometown family business you can trust.
There are places where people talk, and then there are places that people talk about. News Radio WGNS is both on air, online, and on the phone.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. Curtis Van Zandt is our winner today of that delicious banana pudding from the Slick Pig Barbecue. And Wes McMurray is our good neighbor of the day. Wes is always helping with a car issue and coming through even with rentals. I tell you, going the extra mile. He's going to be receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flower Coffee and Gifts. Let somebody know when you come across a good neighbor. Just let us know about them. Send us their name, address, and phone number, and why they should be the good neighbor of the day. Alan Farley is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Election Commission. He is the election administrator. We are in early voting, the last few days of early voting. And we're going to be stopping early voting on Saturday. Last day is Saturday. And then we pause a few days and go into the regular election day, which is on August the 1st, 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. Whatever you do, take advantage of early voting. We have a question here. Person says, it looks like there's a little bit of mudslinging that suddenly has started up. Are you surprised sometimes with the mudslinging? We've never seen people supposedly doing bad pictures of their candidates, of their opposition, and sending them out. That is a little different.
Yeah, the political part, we kind of stay we're not in that mix, but yeah, there are some races out there that tend to get negative, and I know that I think President Reagan said one time, the 11th what was it, the 11th Amendment was, or the 11th Commandment was that thou shalt not speak ill of my fellow Republican, or but those things happen, people ask all the time, elections, people just don't, the turnout, I said, well, the thing is, turnout is not okay. A lot of people don't like August. There's not a lot of competitive races on the ballot. Sportscom, which is traditionally our highest vote turnout location for early voting, is I think fourth this time.
Fourth
sense. Going this time.
So who's number one now?
Actually, Lane Agripark has been, and our office has been fighting over for the top spot, and really because the west part of the county is actually where the competitive races are, and a lot of times they'll say, well, people, when you have races that are not competitive, or you have them unopposed in say the general election, a lot of people just stay home. Competitive races, when people are spending, when you have the mail flying and the TV, radio ads and that kind of stuff, that generates interest. And, in 2018 is a perfect example. We had over $100 million spent in the state of Tennessee. You had a very competitive U.S. Senate race with Senator Blackburn and then also Governor Bradison. So that generated interest, and we had about a 71-72% turnout for that election. So, you know, when you have competitive races and you have the money being spent and the advertising and the campaigns, that's what generates turnout. And just because you have an election doesn't guarantee people are just going to turn out. There has to be something that's motivating them to turn out to the polls.
But now, we're really not any different from other countries, are we? I mean, they are having the same situation, low voter turnout, unless it's a really popular election.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's, well, you know, of course, in some countries, you know, they'll stand in line for days. You know, they'll walk miles just for that privilege to be able to vote. And, you know, I've read stories and seen photographs of where they dip their thumb in ink so that way they can't, you know, vote again.
It's good ink then.
Yeah.
doesn't wash off.
last for a couple of days. But you do have that aspect. And the interesting, the sad part is that when, of course, when I turned 18, the first thing I did on my 18th birthday is I went and registered to vote and signed up for the Selective Service. And, you know, because that was the way that I was raised. And, you know, I mean, I've never missed an election.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so local elections are very important. So a lot of times I don't know if that's being conveyed to the younger generations. You know, I'm not sure civics is even required teaching in the school system anymore. So a lot of times I think it's self-inflicted. Sometimes the reason why we don't have a high voter turnout.
And I think you're to be commended for starting early and continuing. I know when Scott turned, I think he said 18 or 21.
18.
When he turned 18, we made a big deal of going out and voting, registered to vote, and then we went out as a family.
Exactly.
Went to lunch and voted and all of that. When his sister turned 18, we did the same thing, and you know, we went out as a group.
Mm-hmm.
It was a family tradition. Now they're grown, have their own families. Hopefully that tradition, I know it's not continuing with Scott because he has a son who lives in California and is in the military right now, but he'll be back home, and hopefully that tradition can continue here. I think it's a neat thing to hold the families together.
It really is, Bart, because, I mean, from my standpoint, you know, I've been an administrator for 10 years, and I've been involved in the political process since the mid-'80s. You know, I was involved in the political side, the campaign side and all that, but then served on the election commission for I think 12 years or so in the 90s and in the 2000s. But anyway, I've got children that are 28 and 25. You know, they grew up, I mean, they always went with us to vote and always wanted to push the buttons, and we said, okay, push this button, push that button, my wife and I. And even, you know, our granddaughter, she'll be 11 here in another month or so. And, you know, and ever since she was little, she's taken that place. So passing it on generation to generation. So, and, you know, and that's one thing, you know, encourage your kids to come to the polls at election day or early voting and to vote, you know, stand there in the voting booth, educate them about what you're doing. I think that's very, very, very important.
And I think the people at the offices, wherever you vote, they're there to help encourage it, too.
They are. And, of course, if they know that you're a first-time voter, we always try to take, kind of make a special, let everybody know, hey, you know, this is Bart's first time voting, you know, kind of thing, and kind of a cheer and celebrate that. Because, I mean, that is a very big, that's a very big thing.
And I want to say this, too, because, and like I said, I've been going to the election administration office to vote for many years now, and they get to know you after a while. I don't know how they remember you year in. Must be notes on it or something. But they just make you feel good when you get in there.
Yeah, and I tell you what, and the best part of my job is, I mean, I've got a great staff. I mean, I really have a tremendous staff. In course, you know, when you have 200,000 registered voters, seven, eight people cannot conduct elections. And so really the big thing is that we have a consistent crew, a group of people. You know, we want to call them volunteers because, yeah, they get paid, But what they get paid, I don't know if they make a minimum wage for the full day, because it's a 14-hour day. But, you know, but year in, year out, election time, we have a lot of the same people that actually work. And so they get to see you coming through. And if you go to the same location, and we have a lot of people that they say, well, I really enjoy being a poll worker because I get to see people I haven't seen in a long time, or I haven't seen since the last election. So that's kind of a motivating factor for some of our people to be poll workers. But our staff, our people, is what really makes elections work here in Rutherford County. And I'm sure there's other counties too. But a lot of people say, well, and I tell people all the time, elections are conducted, by people that you go to church with, you go to school with, your kids go to school together, or you're in PTA, groups, or book club, whatever. It's just a consensus of people in our community that come together, and they're the ones that you run into at the polls. They're the ones that are checking you in and helping you vote.
Here's another question from a listener, and this one's asking, they say they just moved here recently from another state, and they're really impressed with the way that we vote. They're impressed with the ability to go from one location to the other, whatever is closest to you, when you vote. It makes it a whole lot more convenient. And they're asking, can you do this in all of the counties in Tennessee?
That's a good question. Now, there's only seven counties. We in 2018, we were the first county to develop this process. And then we had to go through a pilot program to where the General Assembly we got the legislation passed to where we could do this. And then after we developed this format, and then it was approved to go permanent, other counties have followed in behind us. But right now we only have seven of the 95 that are allowed to do that. Williamson County is one. Wilson County is another. Monroe County in East Tennessee, Henry County in West Tennessee, Wickley County in West Tennessee. So those counties have the ability to do that. So only seven. We hope that's a trend that will grow. But you got to have the ability to be able to do to do that, because it's just not something. A lot of counties only have one voting location for early voting. Where we have nine, some counties don't have the ability, because you have to have the network capability, because it's instantaneous. So when you go and you show up at SportsCom to vote, and they put you into the system, and they show that, okay, that Joe Pearl is voted. Well, then Joe Pearl can't go over to Lane Agri Park and vote again. So you do have to, now the registration part is the database is tied to the network, not the machines. Because that way we got to make sure that some person can't just turn right around and go vote at another location. So some counties, some of our rural counties, don't have that capability.
Another question here. This person says, I understand how some of the smaller counties don't have that capability. They just don't have the staff, I guess, don't have the money to underwrite it either. But when you mentioned those counties, you left out every major county in Tennessee. Davidson County, Shelby County, Knox County, on and on. Why are they not a part of it?
It's a choice that each election commission makes, whether they want to be a part of that. And of course, then they have to go and the legislature has to approve them to go through this pilot.
So they have to go through a pilot program just like we did.
Right. And so you go through that process and then, make sure that it's, done properly and that there's no issues, that you have, the ability to be able to do that. And then you go through that cycle, and then you are permanently approved if you meet all the requirements. If I was in those larger counties, I definitely would be involved with vote centers there.
Now, when did this start?
It started in 2018. We started in 2016 to get the legislation passed. Well, it was passed in 2016, in the spring of 16. We could have had this format for the presidential election in November of 2016, but I was not going to do that. I wanted to go through. We went through a year and a half of testing. because we actually developed contingencies for contingencies, because we knew that by being the first county, that if we didn't do it right, we would kill this opportunity for everybody. And so we took our time and really focused on every aspect and looked at, okay, if this scenario happened, then what's the contingency to, for this? Well, okay, well, something happens to that contingency. So we studied it, and we actually wanted to make sure that when we went through this process, we had thought through every single aspect. And so I think that's the reason why it's been successful as it has been.
When you look at the cost of doing this versus the old way, is this significantly more expensive? I'm trying to figure out why you would not have it in other places.
Well, on the front end, because you've got all the laptop equipment there for your database to be able to check your voters in. But so you do have the technology aspect cost on the front end, but now the cost savings. For that initial investment we made, we've already recouped that and made money. We don't do it for the month because we're making money.
How can you make money?
Well, it's just your cost savings.
Okay.
We by state statute, you are required to have a certain number of polling locations. Well, back in the old format, we had 49 precincts. We had one precinct, the Mitchell family, which I know they're big advertisers. Bud and them allowed for their location to be a polling location for the folks out there in the Jakes community. Well, it's a very small community, but also because of the way the districts were laid out, we would have more people there working the election that would actually show up. There was like 8 or 9 people that were actually voting there. Well, we were able to consolidate, use this example. We had 9 voting locations that were in the 3.5-mile radius of each other, because we had Oakland High School, Oakland Middle, and John Pittard. Those all three locations, the property joined each other. So we were able to consolidate those locations, move it to SportsCom, and we're able to utilize that equipment and then get more efficient use of the equipment and also of our poll workers. So it requires less labor, less poll workers to be able to conduct that election, because you're using, instead of using those three, you consolidated that to one and then use that equipment and then those people, because you're able to process more voters through the vote center locations.
Almost sounds like it's one of those situations where we've never done it that way before. My grandfather did it this way. My great-grandfather did it this way. I'm not going to change, no matter how much we save.
That's true.
How much convenience there is.
That's true.
Wow. Thank you, Rutherford County. I tell you, another reason why this is such a great place. We'll be back and continue the conversation. This will be our final segment. So if you have been stimulated to wonder something about voting in Rutherford County, give us a text, 615-893-1450. Alan Farley is with us, the election administrator here in Rutherford County. Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
Does your home need freshening up? Let our family at Farrah Construction help you. We do painting, new flooring, anything that you need. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Farrah Construction offers high quality craftsmanship, quick response, and attention to detail. For home restoration at a price you can afford, Farrah Construction can get the job done, no matter how big or small it is. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come and see us for all your gardening, home, and farm needs. We have a great selection of clothing, farm items, and also our wonderful gift department. Please come see us for all your gift items. And we also have local honey. And if you're interested in being a beekeeper, we do have supplies for that. We have from hives to suits to whatever you need to take care of those bees. We're located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms at times this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high into the upper 80s. Tonight, slight chance for showers and storms, a low near 70. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 73.
Your Atlanta Braves station.
Hey, this is Ben Ingram. Thanks for listening to the home of Atlanta Braves baseball, News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna.
Hey, welcome back. We have about 6 minutes left in our broadcast. 615-893-1450 is our number. Another question. This person's going back to the infighting that's in this election. Do we seem to see more of that this time? And the person's asking, how can we encourage people not to do that?
Well, part of that's a good question. I know, it seemed like at the local, state, and national level, when you have passionate debate, sometimes you tend to have that. And of course, I'm always one of those. I always refer to the Reagan years of Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. You know, hey, we agree on 60% of the things. Okay, well, let's get those process done, and hey, we'll do that because that's what's best for the American people, and then we're going to work on trying to convince each other on who's got the best idea on the other 40%. And sometimes passionate debate and civility, there's a fine line there. So that's a good question. I think if you ever find that answer, we could probably sell that throughout the country.
Another question here from a listener, probably sort of along those same lines. This person's asking about there was a time when we were 50-50. We had people who ran the middle of the road. Now it seems that everybody's either extreme one way or extreme the other way, and we're always fighting as a country and as a county too. Do you think we'll ever see the time when we're more middle of the road?
You know, that pendulum always swings, throughout time. Because, I tell people all the time, I say, everybody talks about, well, there's one-party domination right now. I said, well, back 20, 30 years ago, there was one-party domination, but it was a different party. So that pendulum does swing. And I think sometimes there'll be an issue that will galvanize that will cause, issues to... And I think you see from what we saw in the Republican National Convention here just a few weeks ago, I mean, you're seeing a realignment of political parties. So does that allow for that? That's a good question. I don't know, because at some point you get so too extreme that it's going to force everybody to say, okay, now it's time to kind of compress here, and you have a can that kind of captures, everybody's attention and kind of. Because right now you could drive a Mack truck through the center of politics and not hit anybody. but the good thing is, and this is what I've always loved about the campaign, the politics part, the election part, is you can have a debate. And I think that if we ever lose it to where I have friends that are Republicans, I have friends that are Democrats. Some people I just don't discuss politics with. But, we have a lot of other things in common. But we can have the discussions, but it's one of those things, hey, I agree one way, you agree the other way. And I think that's what we've got to get back to.
So it sounds like if you get right down to it, the important thing is to know how the candidate stands on issues that concern you, and you need to vote how you feel each candidate, whether they support you or not.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, in politics is just like marriage. You know, I mean, I know I'm right 100% of the time at home, but my wife doesn't think so. You know, so I'm not a very good convincing campaigner, I guess. But you know, but there's always going to be things people are passionate about. And I think you have to have passion, and no matter what you're doing, to be effective and do things. And so you got to find what are those issues that move you, and then research the candidates and say, okay, who do I align with? And then go vote. And I always, when I speak to groups, I always get on my stump speech and always say, you know what? Local elections are far more important than national elections. You know, I say, you know, there's treaties that these, you know, that the senators and stuff will vote on, you know, and by the time, you know, it gets down to their impact to us, okay. But now when you're out here talking about schools, and you're talking about taxes, and you're talking about roads, because you ask everybody in Rutherford County, what's the biggest issue right now?
Traffic.
Roads, traffic.
Yeah.
But you don't hear, but the campaign messages, they're not running, not running about, you know, they're not discussing that. You know, they're talking about other issues that, you know, they impact us, but it's more of a residual impact more than a direct impact. So you know, but local news, you know, WGNS is one of those, you know, we were talking during the break. Y'all have forums, y'all have opportunities for people to listen, and then people just need to take advantage of, say, hey, I want to listen to candidate A and candidate B discuss their issues, and then I'm going to make a decision who I'm going to vote, and then I'm going to go vote for them.
And we will say this too, thanks to podcast, you can't use as an excuse, well, I forgot it, or I was at work at that time. You can go back and listen to it at your convenience.
Right. And we have a lot of people that contact our office. Okay, have y'all got your sample ballot up on the website yet? Because what they want to do is they want to get the ballot, and then they want to research the candidates.
I think that's good.
And then you have some just, you know, they don't research. They align with certain viewpoints, and then what they do is they'll go in and they'll straight vote their party's line, which that's fine too. I mean, find out who it is that you align with, but the main thing is go vote. Let your voice be heard.
And on that note, we want to say thank you to Alan Farley, the election administrator, for joining us this morning.